It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz to Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk about, that's right, food and other things. Good morning,
well,
Arthur.
Well, today it's going to be more like drink.
Okay.
You know, it's my usual August topic when I can't even think about eating when it's 90-whatever degrees and feels like 106. So even in the air-conditioned house, for some reason, you know, I don't know, am I the only one who gets affected by outdoor weather even when they're indoors in climate-controlled situation? Anyway, I made mango chutney yesterday, and you may well ask, why would you do that? And the reason is, Bob loves mango chutney. He doesn't want to eat his chicken tikka masala without it. I restrict myself, let's say, on mango chutney, but every once in a while I will indulge in a spoonful. But I am offended by the product that you can buy in a store. And I have yet to find a product that is anywhere near as good as very easily made homemade chutney. And they're expensive, too. And if you order in the chutney from, I live in a place where you can call up, and there's more than one Indian restaurant that will deliver to me. And they charge you like $4 for a quarter of a cup of mango chutney. That offends me, too. So, and, you know, it ends up, it's just syrup. By the way, a similar product that has deteriorated into just syrup is what we used to call duck sauce, D-U-C-K.
Oh, real.
Because Chinese people, you know, serve this sauce with duck, which is greasy sometimes. It's certainly a fatty meat, and you want something to balance it out, like a sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, I love duck sauce.
I'm sorry.
I loved duck sauce as a kid.
You do.
Yeah, I did.
I did too. But now it's just syrup.
Yeah, it's like,
and it's nothing.
Yeah.
And in fact, I only maybe in the last year or so started, when I do want a duck sauce, and every once in a blue moon I want to put it on an egg roll, I do what Sam Sifton suggested in the Times, I don't know when, a long time ago. Mix some apricot preserves with a little bit of vinegar, and you can adjust the vinegar to your taste. And it's way better, especially if it's a good preserve, it's way better than any Chinese duck sauce. By the way, I don't know how this happened, really. I should investigate this. What we call duck sauce, a particular product, in fact, Saucy Susan, do you remember this? Saucy Susan was the big label when we were young, Marshall. And it's still a big label in the kosher community. And I don't know what they use it on, probably a lot of different things, because they buy very big jars of it. Anyway, back to mango chutney. So I realized a few years ago that now that you can buy mango, which is a pain in the neck to peel, cut off the pit, blah, blah, prep. You can buy it already cut up, peeled and cut up. And it's not cut up into the small pieces that I want you to, but it's still cut up. So it's nothing to do but cut it into, let's say, half-inch chunks. It doesn't have to be even or anything. In fact, it's better to be haphazard. I'll get to that later. And make your chutney. Here's the recipe. I've made it so many times. Well, I don't make it that often because it holds up in the refrigerator for literally many months. Mine has yet to go bad. In fact, I'm not sure that it ever would go bad. It might dry out a little bit, thicken up, but that's it. So this is an easy thing to do, really, if you can buy already cut up, peeled mango. And I, by the way, looking at mango, some of the flesh is rather pale and some of it is rather darker orange mango color. And I find, and those darker pieces are the riper pieces. But for this, you don't need ripe mango. Half-ripe mango is good. In fact, Bob, who grew up in Hawaii, one of his snack items as a kid was green mango dipped in soy sauce. So I saved him a few pieces so he could do this. It was very nostalgic for him. not my taste, but I didn't grow up eating that. So anyway, it's very easy. 2 cups of sugar and 1 cup of plain old white distilled vinegar. Put them in a 3-quart saucepan and bring it to a boil, stir, so just until the sugar dissolves. And then you can add all the other ingredients. And they are about 5.5 to 6 cups of cut-up mango. That turns out to be 2 pounds of pre-peeled and pitted mango, 2 pounds. And I cut it into, as I said, half-inch pieces. My store sells it. They're in spears, so all I have to do is gather them and go crosswise into half-inch pieces, and it's done. 1 medium onion, 1/4-inch dice, 1 heaping teaspoon of mustard seed, 1 large clove of garlic, finely chopped. You're just going to throw this all into the pot. I have really good hot pepper. And 1 of my really good hot peppers, which are about 3/4 inch long, is enough heat for this. But you could add more. If you don't have my wonderful hot peppers, a big pinch of chili, hot pepper flakes is fine. Very fine. Now, the one ingredient, also 1/2 cup of raisins. I like golden raisins in this, but if you happen to have dark raisins, you can use those instead. The one ingredient that you may not have, I have all those except the mango in the house. The one thing you might not, but I do, is crystallized ginger. So I use 1/4 cup of finely slivered crystallized ginger. If you want to do this and you don't have crystallized ginger, then I would suggest you peel and coarsely chop a good 3-inch length of ginger. And you don't have to add more sugar. There's plenty of sugar there. The crystallized ginger does have sugar on it, but it's okay. You can discount that. And you could use fresh ginger. You put that all in the pot, stir well, over medium-low heat, let it simmer gently for at least 50 minutes, 55 minutes, at which point, and you can stir it a couple of times, you won't be able to resist. At some point, after 50, 55 minutes, try smashing one of the larger pieces of mango against the side of the pot. And if it smashes, if you can smash it, then smash a lot more and let it cook another 10 minutes or so. You might want to smash a little more as you go along. Yesterday when I made this, I used my potato masher at some point. The mashed up mango will thicken it, as well as, of course, all the sugar. And that's it. And I don't think I forgot anything. And you just let it cool down and put it in jars, and I keep it in the fridge. And the last batch lasted, at least 6 months.
So explain to me something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hate mangoes, but you know what? I like mango chutney. Why?
I don't know. All the spices cover up whatever it is in the mango you don't actually like. Also, these are not, in general, they're not ripe mango. I've yet to go find cut-up mango in the store where it's all ripe mango, meaning fully ripe mango. Maybe it's, a lot of people have allergies to mango. In fact, if I buy a real mango, not already peeled and cut up, I have to take the garbage out immediately because Mr. Harnett claims that even if he smells mango skin, something dire is going to happen. I've never determined exactly what dire. But as somebody who grew up eating mango, he knows from mango. He also knows from pineapple. So anyway, mango chutney is a total a-seasonal thing to do. I did it only because I walked into a small grocery in the neighborhood yesterday to get something very specific for my cousin. And there they had all this cut up mango, and it looked and it was very cheap. So I think it was like $7 for the mango, and adding those other ingredients, let's say it was $9 altogether. I have an enormous quantity of mango, a really good mango chutney. So anyway, this is a season to put up stuff, even though mango chutney isn't one of those things you need a season for. Meaning, if Marshall, there's still berries to be picked?
I think strawberries, I think.
Well, that would be perfect. Maybe there's a raspberry, too, around, too. There are late-fruiting raspberries, I know, in the Hudson Valley, and also late-fruiting strawberries in the Hudson Valley.
One of my favorite
things. In any case, this is, if you can get your hands on local berries, which, in fact, rot almost immediately, eat as many as you can, and then put up the rest in alcohol. This is the time to make liqueurs. Well, at least berry liqueurs. And I do love raspberry and strawberry liqueur. And another one that I love, and I had a laugh about this morning, is bay leaf liqueur. It's a little late for making bay leaf liqueur, but in my looking around on the internet, I found a recipe for bay leaf liqueur, only to find out, again, that it's my recipe. But in this case, a man named Andrew Schwartz, who wrote Naples at Table, is credited with the recipe. At least I get credited by my last name. this appeared on a website called Our Italian Table, A Tavola Non Sinvecchia, which means at the table one doesn't age. Lydia Bastianich says that all the time on our TV show. I think that may actually be her sign-off. But this website has nothing to do with her. June 24th, 2015, this appeared at on this website that is written by Michelle and Joe Becci. So thank you, Michelle and Joe, for crediting me, even though I am now Andrew Schwartz, who wrote the definitive compendium on Napolitano cooking, Naples at Table. Anyway, as I say in the book, you need to find a source of young bay leaves for this. I should try it with older bay leaves. I never really have. For the years that I made this here in Brooklyn, now don't come after me, there used to be a bay laurel tree put out on the terrace where it was a cafeteria terrace at the greenhouse building. And Bob and I would sit and eat our lunch at the table right next to the bay leaf tree and pick 32 leaves, young leaves. This is in late June when there were fully formed leaves, but you could tell they were young because they were a lighter green in color. I really should try this with mature leaves. Anyway, you sort of crush the leaves in your hand. 32. Yeah, by the way, the recipe on the internet does say about 32 young large bay leaves, about 1/2 ounce. And it says they may have actually totally copied this recipe, not just been inspired by it. 2 cups of grain alcohol. Now, I used to have to drive from New York City to Connecticut, but Connecticut, grain alcohol has always been legal in Connecticut, but for some reason, for a long time, it wasn't in New York State. And only a few years ago, when I drove to New Jersey to buy some to make liqueurs, and I do know a very good wine and spirits store right over the border, so to speak. I used to have to get it in Connecticut, but now it's available in New York State. So but you need 2 cups of grain alcohol for this bay leaf liqueur, and that is usually 95% alcohol or 190 proof. So 3 cups of water, 3 cups of sugar. Basically, any liqueur you do this way. In the case of the bay leaf, you crush them in your hand, You put them under 2 cups of grain alcohol. I do it for several days. Excuse me. And you make a sugar syrup, 3 cups of water, 3 cups of sugar, meaning you just put those two things together on top of the stove, bring them to a boil, stir. And then when the after the alcohol has infused with the bay leaves, you strain out the bay leaves, and you add it to the, with the alcohol, of course, you add the alcohol to the simple syrup. It'll be a light green color. It's beautiful. And my nephew got, I don't want to say addicted to this, but he loved this liqueur, and so he bought himself a bay tree, which he killed almost immediately. But I do know that you can grow your own bay leaves, well, hence the botanic garden, as long as you bring them in, bring the tree in for the winter. It cannot tolerate, certainly not Sharon's winter. But if you bring, I did have a friend in the northwest corner who did this and brought in the tree. You may even know somebody. I think it's somebody we know in common who brought in the tree. Every winter, I think you probably have. You can keep it outside probably until early October, and then you take it out again in April, and then you can get your young leaves. So the berries, on the other hand, are easy. I would never bother to make strawberry liqueur using supermarket strawberries, but I definitely like it with. Local strawberries, and there's, you say, Marshall, they're still around. I mean, you can go picking. And my recipe, which makes a whole quart of strawberry liqueur, and really is the essence of summer, you'll see, only calls for 1 pint of ripe strawberries. Now, I say local strawberries because those are the strawberries you need to preserve because they don't last very long on their own. They're not meant to be shipped from California or Florida or Mexico, wherever they're shipping strawberries from. So they're a variety that is very short-lived. So 1 pint of ripe strawberries, I wash them and hull them. I don't cap them. I don't cut across the top because that's such a waste of beautiful strawberry flesh. I use the point of a paring knife to make a V-cut around the stem end, and then you get the core out without losing much flesh. It's a little technique, but, you know, worth learning. You put these strawberries under 1.5 cups of grain alcohol. That's 1 pint of strawberries, 1.5 cups of grain alcohol, and they only need 24 hours. If you want to keep them around longer than that, do, because they're pretty for a couple of days. But eventually, the color is going to drain out of the strawberries. You can eat the strawberries if you like. They're really infused with too much alcohol. But the alcohol itself will have turned the color of the strawberries, a gorgeous color. And the syrup for this is only 2 cups of water and I would say 1.5 cups of sugar. You could use more sugar if you like a very sweet liqueur, which I do not. So 2 cups of sugar, 1.5 cups of 2 cups of water and 1.5 cups of sugar. And you just add that to the grain alcohol that you've infused with the berries. By the way, the exact same recipe goes for raspberries and blackberries. I've made blackberry liqueur, too. Now, the most famous, almost all these liqueurs are specialties of the Amalfi Coast and Sorrento, which is not the Amalfi Coast, but across the bay from Capri, and it's around the corner from the Amalfi Coast. And in Capri, they make these things. And my friends in Salerno all make liqueurs. They have different names for them. We have argument. You know, we argue about everything. So the word Rosolio is a word we argue about. My friend Paola Capone says it's a very specific thing. And her very specific thing, I would call Vicholino. And the liqueur I make that I call Rosolio is a coffee liqueur. Again, doesn't need a season. You can make coffee liqueur any time. 1.5 cups of strong coffee, preferably made drip. Not filter drip, but either I use my Neapolitan drip pot, the original drip pot, the metal one that you see in old movies where they flip it over to have the water drip down over the coffee. Do not try this at home. It's something that the Hollywood waiters learned. And of course, there are Neapolitan waiters who want to show off. But with me, invariably, I get burned. So I don't do that. But a French press is good for this, too. So you need 1.5 cups of strong coffee. And you stir in, while the coffee is still hot, 1 cup of sugar. Now, this is important because you want the sugar to fully dissolve in the liquid. And when the coffee is hot, it dissolves much more quickly. You do not want to bring this to a boil on top of the stove as you would with a simple syrup because you'll ruin the taste of the coffee. So, a half a cup of pure, grain alcohol is probably sufficient, but you can go 3/4 of a cup, depending on how strong a drink you want. And I put in 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract. I feel it gives the coffee a little oomph. You could even go as far as 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. And this I like to drink almost immediately. Well, I would chill it, and then I would drink it. However, and it is a little alcoholic at this point, but if you let it sit for 10 days at room temperature and then serve it chilled or room temperature, it marries. It's even better, especially the vanilla. It doesn't, if I was going to make this for immediate drinking, I probably wouldn't even add the vanilla. But after 10 days, the vanilla works. Now, what did I leave out? Well, I left out limoncello because that's the most famous of these liqueurs. However, it's not the season for good lemons. I'm having lemon problems. The apparently you have to pay a lot of money for a good lemon these days.
I just get the lemon juice concentrate. I'm sorry.
No, anyway, it wouldn't work for limoncello because you only want the peel.
Okay.
And no, don't buy that, Marshall, please.
Right.
Even the crummy lemons have better juice than you can buy in the squeeze bottle or whatever. No, it doesn't taste. It has a metallic edge that I cannot bear. It's the same thing. I am having trouble. Do you realize that garlic powder is back in vogue?
Yes.
Onion powder.
The only garlic thing I like garlic salt, and I use it as a replacement for regular salt occasionally. But other than that, garlic powder is terrible.
Well, these things are. I occasionally watch the barbecue shows, and every barbecue chef uses these products. And I even have friends whose houses I like to eat at who use these products. Truthfully, I'm not sure if this friend has ever served me anything with garlic powder or onion powder or garlic salt, but I know she's a proponent of them, so I'm sure they're in her cupboard. I went out and bought some onion powder just to see what this was all about, and I used it a couple of times to no good end. So, and it's expensive. I was surprised at how expensive it is. Anyway, what other liqueurs do I have up my sleeve? The bay leaf we did. So, and the coffee we did. And the berries we did. So the thing with limoncello, you can make it much better yourself than you can buy. But these days, it's become so popular that there are products on the wine shelves for limoncello. I would look for one that is made in Sorrento. There are some big limoncello productions in Sorrento. I have visited some of them, and I know that they make a good product. However, there is a big difference, or at least a difference, between hand-peeled peel and machine-peeled peel. And when you these companies usually have machines to do the peeling. Of note is that if you peel lemons all day, even though you're not touching the lemon juice necessarily, your hands do get affected by the acid in the lemon. And I know one company that does half and half. They do have some hand peeled and some machine peeled. But the machine peeling affects the quality of the oils in the peel. And hand peeling is a slightly different flavor. So, and I can tell the difference only because I make it so much. And I have, and Cecilia makes it and sometimes brings me hers when she likes in particular. And we use, of course, Sorrento lemons when we're in Italy. Fortunately, now, in the middle of the winter, you can buy Sorrento lemons. They come bagged. They're very large. They look almost like another fruit. And they're not sprayed. So you don't have to worry about including pesticides in your limoncello. Or what I used to call, you know the word schmutz? I would make limoncello, and I never did put it through a coffee filter, which some people do. It's, by the way, a very, very, very typical and common homemade product in southern Italy, and particularly, you know, around Naples and Salerno, where it's from. And I didn't put it through a coffee filter. And I would get, after a number of days, I would get something grayish on the top that I used to call limoncello schmutz. So if you shake the bottle, it goes away. But I suspect the schmutz, which had never, ever happened in Italy, is from the wax that I have not been able to wash off on the waxed lemons. Our lemons usually have a wax coating to keep them plumper, for get the skin to slow down dehydration, which we eventually will anyway. But look for those lemons in the winter. When I see them, I'll give you a recipe for limoncello, which is super easy to make and so delicious to have in the freezer or in your refrigerator, or I even like it at room temperature.
All right.
So my mango chutney went into a jar. I filled a full liter jar, and I have enough left over to bring my nephew, who also likes mango chutney, a pint. So it makes a lot.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm set for the next 6 months.
That's right. Now you can just
And maybe I'm going to come to visit soon.
Well, that'll be great if you come to visit. So.
Yeah, maybe I should do the show live.
That would be fun if you came to visit.
I mean, it is live, everybody. But.
I know, but in studio, that would be kind of hilarious. We'd have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Have a great week, everyone. Don't worry about the hurricane. You already had a tornado. You lived through that.
That's right. We're pros at this now.
Full program, right?
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Arthur. That is Arthur Schwartz, of course, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Arthur, of course, on our on-demand page, which is robinhoodradio.com, on-demand. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.